for one, do welcome our new orange overlord, John Boner. Where are the jobs? What? Why is there this deficit? I'm not going to take this anymore. He's had hours. What the? I can blame you. You've had enough time.
Hell no, you can't.
Oh, yes, I can. What's
Hell
going
no,
on?
Hell no, you can't.
Everything's broken. You broke it. Why isn't it fixed yet?
Hell no, you can't.
Oh, shut up. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Post-election day. It couldn't be a better day for the happy clappiness of Hal Sparks.
That's right.
Who joins us live in studio.
Steffi.
Yeah.
What's that? Heavy breathing.
Here it comes.
Why?
Could it be?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Hal, you're going to have to get your bullhorn again. And apparently we have to talk people down from the ledge. And Chris and I are like, what? What?
Do we really?
This is exactly what was expected.
Totally.
We lost the House. We kept the Senate. What?
Yeah.
I don't...
Everyone, just step away from the button. Do not push the button. All is well. Get all liberal Democrats. Stop reading Huffington Post regularly and just relax for 5 seconds while we explain to you.
Listen, at the House, disastrous for America, great for comedy, what a bunch of ass clowns. Come on, bring it. What do you got?
Right.
What do you got? You fix everything then.
Totally. And if you think the Dems are a little nervous about the way the direction the House is pointing right now, think about how John Boehner has to corral
right.
the weirdest group of new recruits.
Right.
Oh, man.
The GOP is... I mean, there was there were some new Dems elected last night. None of them were in the crazy zone.
Oh, it's like political freaks and geeks.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's awesome. And here's what Chris and I were saying. I think, like, there's also this media thing, like, they have to be right. And Chris is going everywhere, like, Republican, you know, landslide, blah. And you said it. Their margins were less than in 94. We lost the House. For those of you who don't remember, we lost the House and the Senate in 94. I mean, and the other thing, Rand Paul, Mr. Tribble on his head, oh, it's a Tea Party tidal wave. Really? Someone ought to tell, oh, I don't know, Joe Miller, Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Engel, Carl Palladino. I mean.
Exactly. You got 4 out of 5 of the main Tea Party candidates not getting in.
And how your home state, no offense.
Yeah.
It's Kentucky.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly shocked, if you'll notice. We've had Mitch McConnell in there for quite some time.
The two senators from Kentucky shall now be known as the tortoise and the hare.
Aye, with the flavin.
The tortoise. Yeah.
And you said you tweeted this morning, you for one do welcome our new orange overlord.
Yes.
Yes. The boner.
Jim,
did you see he cried anyway? We were thinking he'd cry if he lost, but he cried.
He cried and I won. No, I actually got it covered. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
My favorite part was where he started him on his crying fit.
Yes.
Was I mopped floors. I did every crap job at my dad's
tavern.
Shop. Yeah, it's a dad's
tavern.
This is his way. I worked my way through school.
That's where I started my drinking.
Working
problem.
For my dad. I mean, that's really what his. And as a small businessman, this is where he got his start, was working for his dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we have. Shano has graced us with a boner montage. This is the election boner crying montage. Thank you, Shano.
Am I the only one getting a boner right now?
I spent my whole life chasing. The American dream.
Oh, my God.
John Boehner.
I put myself through school working every rotten job there was.
Yeah, me too. So
and and every night
dad.
Shift I could find. And I poured my heart and soul into running a small business.
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's at the top of our list.
But no.
Thank you, Shano. Maybe I'm happy clapping because out here in California, we salute Governor Jerry Brown, Senator Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
Oh, and hello there over there, Senator Harry Reid. Hello there. Yeah, by the way, I do have another story about what a giant loser I am. So I got invited to be in Barbara Boxer's VIP suite last night at her... election party?
Mm-hmm.
Who fell asleep on the couch?
Oh, no.
I did.
Somebody with a morning schedule. Crazy. really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a loser. I am a giant, elderly, shut-in loser. Jim, your thoughts. Here's the thing. This year is cattywampus. I mean, you know, even when you know, even the pundits were disagreeing. I mean, last night Lawrence O'Donnell made an interesting point. He said, you know, well, Rachel Maddow said, you know, Russ Feingold, which I am crushed about.
Yeah.
But she said he did get outspent 4-1. But then, you know, O'Donnell said, well, if it's just money, how come Linda McMahon and Meg Whitman lost? And so, you know, and then when you try to make the point like, oh, is it only conservative Dems? Well, somebody this morning was saying when everyone from Alan Grayson to Chet Edwards who voted for McCain lose, I mean, you can't, what's the point you make there?
Yeah, it's all over the map, actually. But the thing is, now these clowns have to somehow govern.
Right.
Yes.
And this is their big fear, by the way.
Part.
Yeah, they actually have to do the job now.
Yeah, they've been in a very safe position up till now for themselves. They can snipe and accomplish nothing.
Yeah, they've been in the back of the room throwing spitballs.
Exactly.
Now they have to teach the class.
Right.
So good luck with that.
And they have to do what Democrats have to do, which was have a solid House that's trying to bottleneck through the Senate.
Right.
And even their own leadership with this, you know, because right now, you remember how everybody's arguing about...
Yeah, welcome to our nightmare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, feel our pain.
And the simple majority was everybody saying, all we need is a simple majority to get stuff through. Remember,
right.
This is our argument during the 60-vote majority that we supposedly had for a while. That's exactly what we have right now. Mm-hmm. Barring the other two... there's two seats that look like they might lean.
We should do the fun fact update. The Alaska race looks like it's going to Murkowski. Still we knew this was going to go longer because of the write-in, but she's up, 5 points? So it looks like, obviously, Joe Miller. Bye-bye.
Apparently, people learned how to spell her name.
Yes, apparently. It wasn't that hard.
And that's an interesting one, because where is she going to caucus as an independent? Is she going to kind of, you know, obviously she has to lean a little more conservative than not. However, the Republican establishment, you know, really threw her under the bus.
Oh, so hell hath no fury like a,
like a
somebody scorned by their party.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fascinating element. But again, the House, I think the part of it is, you know, you think the Dems is herding cats.
Yeah.
Imagine the work that Boehner and Cantor are going to have to do.
Oh, can I say one side fact about the Alaska race? Is I think, because she's such a mean girl, I think this made Sarah Palin's head explode more than Lisa Murkowski won.
Oh,
than
man.
Than even Scott McAdams won. I think there was a snow machine or two thrown around the Palin household.
I mean, you want to talk about
that? That bitch!
She made robocalls for Tancredo yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
Tancredo.
who just, I mean, talk about
tanked.
Going down in flames. Yeah.
Yep.
And again, if you look at the spread in areas, you know, where the drop-off is really huge. I mean, there's, like, a lot of what we're talking about in the shift over where blue went red in a very narrow margin, that was pretty normalcy. That's where people were coming in, and there were a big portion of people who were just flipping the switch and going, I'm voting against whoever's in.
Yes.
And they were showing up in more trouble. When you have, they had a statistic last night on CNN and MSNBC, who were both talking about exit polls, where they said 4 out of 10 people were voting regarded themselves as pro-Tea Party.
Right.
Okay, only about 22% of the actual electorate does that. So what you have is an exaggeration of who showed up at the polls. More.
Well, and that was one of the things, that money couldn't get some of these really unbelievably crazy, crappy candidates in, even with that advantage. So, I mean, and that's the other thing. It's like, wait till they see how the ones that do get in govern.
This
is awesome.
Well, that's the thing. That, you know, and it's the House, again. A noisy body that in the last, you know, under Pelosi, they've put over 200 bills through.
Right.
And, six of them have hit the floor of the Senate?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, this is going to be awesome. Rand Paul's first day. It's like, okay, let's roll back this civil rights thing.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I hope someone's watching Sharon Engel very carefully she's not arranging Second Amendment solutions.
Yeah. I was going to say, one of the ones I'm really, not only because it made every right-wing head explode, because Harry Reid's was the scalp they wanted most of all, but secondly, she's not even good for comedy. She's just gross.
I just hope someone catches her on the phone trying to arrange a mob hit that is broadcast on every network except Fox, obviously.
You know, Jim, right before the election, I heard that audio again. You heard the audio when she said that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going, what's the word you always use, Jim? Isn't that actionable.
Right.
I'm like going, one would think. Seriously, the FBI or the Secret Service? That was pretty clear. She said Second Amendment remedies and someone needs to take Harry Reid out.
Someone needs to take Harry Reid out with a gun and a bullet.
I couldn't believe that, for instance, wasn't a bigger story, at least. I'm going, do you have to actually say, please, someone shoot
him?
I mean,
right.
what do you have to say?
Someone rid me of this troublesome priest.
Well, the ironic part is that they can skate right up to that line, but if a Democrat says, I want to give... Karl Rove a wedgie. They're like, inciting violence, the left.
Yes.
They're hiring assassins.
Someone, yes, when Aisha Tyler said she was going to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack, the right wing went insane.
Exactly. And when she doesn't even have one.
How dare you insult her nutsack?
You're right.
Wait a minute. Why did I say that?
Yeah, that's a real threat when it's a fictional body part. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Legitimately. So.
I'm going to kick her right in the cloaca.
All right. Everyone's a pundit today. You know why? Because no one knows what the hell happened. Even the pundits disagreed.
Oh,
I mean, seriously.
Totally.
Your guess is as good as ours. What?
Boehner cried last night because he knows he has to explain to the Tea Party in about 9 months what happened to their entire agenda.
Right.
Yeah. To every single one of them who showed up because they're not going to.
They tried on MSNBC. Lawrence O'Donnell was saying to Eric Cantor, what happens when you raise the debt ceiling?
Yeah.
You're going to have to raise the debt ceiling or the entire government's going to.
I believe that American people believe that we have a mandate to do something.
Look, we're just trying to celebrate.
I just say, I saw Eric Cantor and Michelle Bachmann on MSNBC, and I thought the same thing I thought through the whole election cycle. What a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
What a bunch of classless asshats. Someone's holding a sign behind Bachman. How's the tingle, Chris? And then Bachman makes some joke. Yeah, how's that tingle going for you? It's just...
Right.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, a network anchor is having you on his show. I mean, it's just...
Right.
He was hilarious, though. He's like, are you hypnotized?
Right.
What are you? You're not even
have you been hypnotized?
The questions that I'm...
Yeah, they had the same, but you know, he really went after Cantor,
too. Oh, and Cantor's so smirky. Just, I'm delighted to be on MSNBC tonight. It's like, okay.
I'll tell you why, and this is, again, been an argument I've had for a long time. Nobody wins an election. You get a job. And it is completely reasonable to ask you the second after you get that job what you're going to do with that job.
Right,
but there is a celebratory aspect, and I think overtly so on the Republican side, where they're going and you're like, okay guys, let's see it.
How many days is going to take for them to realize?
Totally
I gotta do something.
If you think the quote unquote professional left has had it with Obama, wait till the Tea Party comes knocking for Mitch McConnell.
Yeah,
and,
by the way, Boehner. Speaking of Smirky, where's our right-wing caller from yesterday? Mr. We're going to win 100 seats and the Senate and every governorship. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a ringy-ding.
Right.
Just for historical perspective, could I have my historical perspective music, please?
We had that.
In 94, we lost the House
and
the Senate.
Right.
We lost the House and kept the Senate this time. What was my other point? They won 60 seats. They were expected to win 70.
Yep.
I mean, I walked in, I'm like, what? How is this different than what everyone was saying?
Right.
We're going to lose the House, so we're going to keep the Senate. You know, it was the margins were what were in question in terms of turnout and all that. So
it was tightening over the course of. I mean, literally, we're getting to the point where we were tightening towards the race. If this would be a lesson for the Dems. If their message had started a month earlier,
we might have been a little slow off the couch. Oh, it was today election.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Again, when you got 40% of the actual voters saying something that only 20% of the actual electorate believe, then what you have is what I would call the Ariana effect, which is a lot of people just going, I don't know if I want to get up off the couch. I don't.
They're speaking with a Greek accent.
What's the point?
Darling, I do not understand. What is the difference between the parties at this point? They're not out of the scouts.
Don't go to the polls.
There's no difference.
20 minutes.
To go.
20 minutes after the hour. David Bender coming up on the big show. And listen, everyone's
pundit.
I don't think he's ever Bender. All right, we'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This race has been called, but the fight is far from over. The bell that just rang isn't the end of the fight. It's the start of the next round.
Teen and he, Senator Harry Reid. It is Stephanie Miller's show.
Right.
By the way, so the matron saint of the Stephanie Miller show, Barbara Boxer.
Yay.
B-Box, who indeed rocks, and the people of California agree.
Continues to rock.
She won by, I guess, about 8 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carly Fiorina has refused to concede.
Yeah. Right. Well, and Meg
Whitman. To the end.
Meg Whitman took her, you know,
yeah.
is taking her time as well, I suppose. And the.
Well, she didn't have gas money to drive to the end.
Yeah, exactly. $160 million
yeah.
of her own money spent
Bitter.
On her campaign. And
Bitter party won.
By the way, that's not the only money that was spent on her campaign.
Yeah.
That's just what she spent.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and I think Jerry Brown actually took two nickels and rubbed them together and won. So, you know, and as much as I was...
That would have been a funny one, victory speech. These are the two nickels
I rubbed together to beat you. You're
in my dirt.
As Gloria Allred said at my party, she spent, what did she spend? $160 million. I spent $10 on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm in my yurt rubbing two nickels together.
Tracy and Corona. Hey, Trace.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi.
I think what's disappointing this morning, and it's not that anything was a surprise, but I think what's really disappointing is how absolutely ignorant the electorate in this country is. I mean, to want to give power back to a party that's more interested in repealing health care than repealing the Citizens United decision is amazing.
Well, this was definitely an election more of emotion than facts. You know, and it's like the president said, when people are scared and things are bad, and they still are, it really is, we've been saying all along, it's tough to sell that, as Paul Krugman said, it would have been 12% unemployment, you know?
But I think the Democratic Party needs to grab that party by the collar and ramrod right down their throats, just like they ramrodded wrong down ours. I mean, you know, wake up. If you want the base motivated and energized, then govern with energy.
Yeah.
That I agree with, but I think... Yeah.
I was just going to say, but, you know, again, I think every race depends so much on where it was in this particular election. I mean, when you say, where's the base? Like, where was the base for Alan Grayson and Russ Feingold then? You know? I mean, if you're going to say...
Absolutely. These guys were firebrand liberals, progressives, and arguably, though, Grayson being kind of a surprise Dem in an odd area.
Right.
A lot of these, they
took back areas they already had. You know,
right.
it was unprecedented that we won them in the first place
right.
in the last cycle.
But in that regard... Oh, I didn't realize there was music playing. Yeah, what you're really looking at is the politics of poverty. If you look at the spread that the Republicans picked up in this, you're really economically hit
right. yeah,
areas.
Yeah, it's rural. Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the post-election Stephanie Miller Show.
What is so dangerous about a character like
Stephanie Miller
is she gives good kids bad ideas.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I need at this point in my career is 1,500
Stephanie Miller
disciples running around these halls. She jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
Well, makes you look like an ass is what she does, Ed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, please, God, maybe this will be the last time we ever have to hear from Sharon Engel, despite her delightful personality.
I am so proud of you. So proud of you. Mm-hmm. And so proud to be one of you. Mm. We're going to look back on this day and remember this is a day for Nevada and a day for America.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the day they sent Harry Reid back to the Senate
and
regained
told,
their sanity.
Yeah, and made you one of them, which is a group of people who have not been elected to public office.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Hal.
Right.
Yes, now you are one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
You are.
You are an unemployed loser like the rest of us.
I'm you. I'm also
now you
unemployed.
Are me.
Right. That's the Christine O'Donnell.
Trailer park too.
Right. That's the Christine O'Donnell concession speech. I'm you. I'm not elected to office.
Yeah. What Chris was saying, this is of all the media irritants, this Tea Party tidal wave. Huh?
Yeah.
What? Let's review the fun facts. Let's see. Carl Paladino lost 25 points?
Yep.
Christine O'Donnell lost by how many points? I didn't keep track of that.
18.
Oh,
18
almost
points.
20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sharon Engel,
yeah.
Obviously.
Joe Miller,
right.
Who else?
I bet he's howling at the moon now.
the wolf candidate. All right, let's go to Mark in Hammond, Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. By the way, was that unexpected? We knew some Tea Party candidates were going to get in just by sheer numbers. Like,
we
knew Marco Rubio was going to win.
Rand Paul, like, honestly, like, you held out some hope for, you know, that Conway would pull it out. But honestly, this is a state that keeps sending Mitch McConnell back.
Hello.
So it's not surprising. And he's more panicked about Rand Paul being in office than the Dems are in the Senate.
Yeah, well, I think Randy Rhodes said he's like he's Jim Bunning on weed.
Yeah.
Rand Paul. 36 after. All right. where am I? Mark in Hammond, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Sorry.
Hi, Mama. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you so much for pulling me back from the edge of the cliff.
Oh, please.
Real quick, in the Hammond Times, O'Donnell, not a witch, also not a senator.
Right.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, where's...
Robert writes, Steph, the Republicans kind of remind me of Chicago drivers. No offense to Chicago drivers. Hal is from Chicago. But all they want to do is be first. Then when they are in front, they come to a red light. When the light turns green, they just sit there holding up traffic. Then when they go, they take it off as fast as they can, wasting gas. And then a few blocks later, they go slower and slower and then turn right, holding up traffic, only to do it again and again.
And don't get me started on Lower Wacker.
Exactly.
Man, that's what you're going to do.
With traffic. This
now we got ever tried to get a Pulaski?
Stacked on another road. Got another road stacked on another one.
Whose idea was that?
And then water.
You know what? That's too much infrastructure.
There's like a canal.
That's great planning.
In between the two streets. How are you supposed to govern a city like that?
There's too much infrastructure. There's a lower and an upper. Who needs two of the same thing?
Look, whack away is what I say.
Michael.
That's what you
do. It's like one of those Babs Big Boy cheeseburgers. All those different layers stacked on top of one another.
Too many. It's too stacked.
It's like, it's like a Big Mac of traffic.
You know what? There's somebody listening to us on WCPT right now on Lower Wacker laughing their ass off.
That's true. They're the only people who knows what's going on.
Michael in Long Beach.
Yeah, I was wondering, you guys keep saying how ignorant
The electorate was last night.
Electorate.
No, I didn't say that. I sing the body electric.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's kind of interesting. In 06 and 08, they were smart. Why is it that then...
I didn't say they're stupid. I think a caller said something
Bill
about that.
Bill Press has said that.
Oh, I didn't...
We're not Bill Press. MSNBC. I watched the whole thing last night on MSNBC, and I'll tell you, the reporters, especially O'Donnell, when he says he'll never have Cantor on his program because of he never answered the questions.
Michelle Bachmann or Cantor didn't answer any questions.
Well, the point is that, and then also with this Chris Matthews, mocking Bachmann. I know you guys don't like Bachmann, but the point is
he wasn't mocking her. She was mocking him. She was making jokes about the tingle thing he said, and she had someone behind her with a sign mocking him. She didn't answer any questions. How was he mocking her?
Well, the point at the end when he says, "Are you in a trance?"
Because she wouldn't answer any questions.
She gave the same answer to three different questions.
Well, but you know that's why with people like Rachel Maddow, that the Republicans and the conservatives don't want to talk to these people because
she keeps asking them questions.
No,
yeah, because she actually makes them answer the questions.
No, it's not that. It's just that it's always a confrontation.
No, it isn't.
Michael, no, it isn't.
Michael, yeah, this show is. But Michael, seriously, I mean, whatever you think of Rachel Maddow, her politics, do you really think she's nasty or confrontational? Really?
The last thing
no,
she is.
But you know, she wondered why when she went up to Alaska that Will. Joe Miller?
Don't talk to anybody. And if you do try to talk to him, he arrests you with his private security.
And by the way, he did do an interview with her.
But let me ask you, I'm glad that, believe me, I'm glad Reed won because this, I didn't like her anyways. And, you know, I think O'Donnell was a joke.
Okay. Well, see, we have common ground. Right. Look, we've already forged more common ground than Congress has this morning.
That's true. Well, listen.
All right, I love you.
It'll be an interesting 2 years.
Of course. And you'll be tuning here for the comedy. I love you.
Do.
All right.
Yeah.
So, did you see the interview that Rachel Maddow did with these Tea Partiers?
Yeah.
This Jenny Eric Holder's against guns. Well, how is he against guns? I can't answer truthfully. I don't know.
Right.
When your only answer is "der," maybe you haven't read the talking point properly.
Again, this is the politics of poverty and the politics of the economy really coming to fore, where these folks are voting against their own best interest because they've been talked into a corner by the GOP machine and by Fox News, that is a strictly corporate holding company. It is a corporate messaging company. And in some cases, and I think California really points to this, the moneyed situation, the Citizens United ruling did not affect us because we have we really have worked over the last few decades to get the electorate involved regardless. Whether or not, you know, there's a sense of, I think in California, vote, go and vote,
think about it. I am offering everyone can come stay at my house for a while. If you were in a state that didn't go the way you expected, listen, come be here with Governor Jerry Brown and Senator Boxer and I. And okay.
Yeah. If
and
you happen
place,
to be a giant
the
dog.
Overflow will be on Hal's couch.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You
I
need
think
to
it
get your
is.
Bullhorn and talk Dean in Niagara Falls down off the ledge. Hello, Dean. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dean.
Hi. I'm still on the edge. I'm calling because I worked for Feingold for 2 weeks making phone calls from here.
Mm-hmm.
And your last caller about being ignorant, I wouldn't call my people ignorant, but, you know, I talked to a guy yesterday, 86, a wonderful gentleman. I hope I changed his mind, but, you know, he was against the greed in Washington. And I was like, well, Feingold's one of the only, you know, non-millionaires. He was against, he wanted universal health care.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, from the propaganda, he admitted,
right.
Well, maybe it's all propaganda. He was going to vote for Ron Johnson, who...
Right. Well, Dean, that is one of the things, like I say, I'm not sure that anybody can make total sense out of yesterday, even, you know, people that are far more expert at this than I am, because, you know, if you look at poll after poll, people wanted a much more liberal health care plan, and no one ever asked any of these Republicans that say the American people have rejected Obamacare, they don't want this health care thing. It's like, no one has ever asked them that question, have they? They've never said, but how come the polls say they want a more liberal health care plan?
Right.
And then how come the public option warriors, the Medicare for All warriors, like Alan Grayson and Russ Feingold lost?
Look, again, I tell you, like, there's something that has to be looked at is this motivation on our side to consistently follow up on elections, and why not? And if you've got 22 to 26% of the electorate saying they identify as Tea Partiers, but 4 out of 10 showing up on election day, then you're not actually pointing to America as a whole saying no to Obama. There, you know, you've got a big percentage of overweight in that area, and there has to be some answer to that on our side as far as motivating voters and keeping the message clean. And I will call it the Ariana effect till 2 years from now. Because I think HuffPo and some of the others, and this is who Gibbs referred to as the professional left, really did a good job disenfranchising and unmotivating a good 15% of the base.
That may have made the difference in certain areas. But, you know, but Ariana, and I obviously have talked to her a lot, would defend her right or anybody's right to do that. We allow more dissension in our party than the,
Totally.
But although it'll be fun to watch the Tea Partiers and the Republican establishment try to get along at this point.
Well, that's the thing is that if you think we're eating our young at times, you haven't seen anything yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey guys.
Hello.
I still think that when people are voting out of fear, they are voting stupidly. Because look at here in Wisconsin, we lost Feingold.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, I'm just so brokenhearted today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if only Madison were allowed to do all the voting and not say Kenosha. You know, that would be good.
I know, it's frightening, you know, but there's
people just got all ramped up and they get all afraid and then they vote against their best interests. And we've got this teabagger Walker for governor.
Right.
I don't know.
Steph, Ron Johnson is, he's what again? What kind of executive was he?
He said plastics.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he's just Mr. Corporate Boy.
Johnson.
Yeah,
Wax.
Yeah.
His
yeah.
big thing, he says right away this morning, is I'm gonna repeal health care. You know,
yeah.
it's a little
right.
creep. A lot of the people that work for him, his employees, get our Badger Care that's set up by the state that helps low income people, and they're gonna try just dismantle that. Our whole Wisconsin's going to look like Swiss cheese instead of a block of cheddar.
Leave it to someone in Wisconsin to make a cheese reference. Steph, hang in there. We're going to be okay. We'll get through this together, all right?
I need Hal to go back on the blowhorn and help
me. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks, guys.
Put down the cheese hat and move away from the voting booth. You are totally fine. Feingold will be on MSNBC as a regular person and actually have an effect on national politics now.
All right.
So fear not.
And he's free to marry me now.
And yes.
All right.
The liberals are trying to take away our cheese.
46 minutes after
the hour. If
we
ran out of our guns, how can we shoot holes in the Swiss? That's how it's made, right?
Back with more post-election analysis that makes as much sense as anybody anywhere. The hell? No one knows what the hell they're talking. I'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah!
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, God, once you start talking Chicago, there's no going back.
It's hard.
51 minutes
stop.
After the air.
It's really hard to stop.
It's easy for me. I got my show on Saturdays.
That's right.
On WCPT right in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I can do that.
Actually, they say Chicago there.
Chicago.
I grew up in Buffalo. I fell on my back on black ice once.
You're right.
On black ice?
Black ice.
I cracked my back on black ice. Ended up flat on my back. We almost made Chris spit.
Rick with a message for our Rick in Florida with a message for our new orange overlord, the boner.
Yes.
Boner. Drunk, stupid, and tangerine is no way to go through life. That's a little play on the Animal House thing. See with the Marvin.
Drunk, fat, and stupid is no way to go through life.
All rise, your orange overlord.
For far too long, Washington's been doing what's best for Washington, not West. Best for the American people. And tonight,
you mean the Bush
that
years?
Begins yeah. to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure it does.
Why don't you cry a little bit?
Across the country right now, we're witnessing a repudiation of
He's
Washington.
Drunk.
A repudiation of big government. And a repudiation of politicians who refuse to listen to the American people.
So
I spent my whole life chasing the American dream.
Working in a tavern.
That my dad owns.
Oh, what? I had to wear a kimono and serve drinks at Fung Lam up at Universal Studios. Welcome to the rest of our
my
world.
My dad never paid me, except in booze.
And college tuition, which he picked up.
I used to put rye on my post-toasties.
Rye?
Milk.
Rye? What kind of Mad Magazine alcohol are you talking about?
with
a crow on it.
Corn liquor.
All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Katie.
We would have won the election with them.
How happy we are.
Hey, Katie's calling from Chicago, you guys. Hi, Katie.
Hey, Stephanie, that sounds like a great deal. I'm totally coming to California to live on your couch.
Awesome.
The good news is I'm a dog walker, so Max and
hey,
totally happy.
Good.
I'm calling because my happy, clappy liberalism is seriously ill this morning. I live in a blue city in a blue state. Our gubernatorial race is too close to call, and we elected a Republican, Mark Kirk, who thinks my friends on birth control should be criminals. My gay and lesbian friends are on ledges all over the city, and I don't have time before work to talk them all down, and I need to know what it is we do for the next 2 years other than start campaigning for
2020. Tell them to back those light loafers back in. We need your help.
Look, here,
flipping out.
In all honesty, this is a great teaching moment for us, this idea that leading up to this election, you had a huge swath of the LGBT community specifically letting DDT and the idea that somehow Obama's not acting fast enough drive them away from the polls. And like I said, when you've got 4 out of 10 people at the polls representing 20% of the actual electorate, then a lot of them didn't show up. And that's not going to work. That you can't you can't sit back and go, you know what, I'm angry, so I'm going to vote my anger by not
Katie,
showing
exactly.
up.
Katie, exactly. I think what we all need to come to terms with is that I am always right. And I've tried to tell y'all that we need to get, as Joe Biden says,
we
bitches
thin.
Need to get it together for the next
absolutely.
What do we do now in 2012?
Well, first of all, sit back and watch the horror show unfurl in the House, and you'll know what to do in 2 years.
And then also remind them of this victory over the next 2 years. Remind them that these are razor thin margins in Illinois, and it's important that they know that they would have really swayed the vote.
Uncle Hal, tell the horse story again so we all feel better. Can I have some Uncle Hal telling the horse story again?
Oh, this is I told this during
the horse
break.
Story.
There, horse.
Oh,
there's a
don't make a Meg Whitman
there's a Buddhist
joke.
There's a Buddhist parable about not getting too panicked or too excited about things, and it was the idea that. I don't know how this became the music for it, but don't you have any kind of... It should have a pan flute or something. Yeah, not your angry
Just tell
Kim
the story!
Jung. Okay, so the idea was this man was given a horse by this stranger, gave him a horse.
That's not the right music!
No.
Fine.
Now this is Indian, I don't know. Whatever.
All right, go ahead.
South Asia, East Asia, what's the
sure. And the town said, oh, how wonderful, you got this horse. And he said, well, we'll see. And then his son got on the horse, fell off and broke his leg, and the town went, oh, how horrible, this horse they got you. Your son broke his leg, and how he'll have to walk with a limp. This is terrible. And he went, well, we'll see. And then finally the emperor's troops came through, picked up every able-bodied soldier, and took them off to war. And his son was the only one who lived. Hmm. And so the lesson sort of it being that just...
A horse is a horse.
No, it's horse. Not Mr. Ed. It's not the... We quit it.
Sorry.
The point being is that you have to look sort of long term at these things and not get too worked up and frightened and go, look, you just keep it life. Mm-hmm. And you stay.
You know what
you
I
are.
Got out of that is that Chris picked the worst music ever for that story. That had nothing to do with a horse.
I want to hear that story in Mandarin. Actually,
it was a Buddhist parable.
It's way longer in Mandarin.
Okay. Vinny in Baltimore,
you can't paraphrase it.
Vinny, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vinny.
Hey, hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
The real winners in this whole thing is the media.
Right. This is a cable election.
Yeah.
Wait, do you know only 2% of the American people watch cable news? I mean, you know, whatever.
No, the media wanted this. They wanted to win. They wanted to see a class of the Republicans and the Democrats. They want to see these hearings. And the only winners are the Citizens United. They made money off of this.
Yeah, I did. I was annoyed when Chris Matthews opened his coverage by telling us what had already happened.
Right.
Here's why this happened. It's like, what? Huh? Can we? No polls have even closed yet. What do you mean this is what happened and why?
Exactly. And the caller does make a great point in that this is our first example of the nationalization of localized elections. Basically, with Fox News as the pivot point. Mm-hmm. And you've got, it used to be that all, you know, everybody thought, and press was talking about this a little bit earlier today, but the idea being that you have, you know, no matter what people felt about Congress, they liked their local congressman. Now they're actually deferring to the national politic, regardless of what's going on in their district, and they're not paying any attention to their local district.
Andy Borowitz has a great tweet this morning.
Chandler,
we may not have a functioning government, but our state-of-the-art negative ads are the envy of the world. Congratulations, America.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America joins us to co-host Right Wing World and do more post-election analysis as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're not gonna take it.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show and Operation Take Back America.
Yeah, I want my America
again.
Back. Where are my jobs? Where are the jobs? What? How do we get this deficit?
Hey! Why hasn't Boehner fixed all the problems?
What? He's at ours!
I'm forming a group today to take my country back.
Yeah.
Since the Tea Party formed on Obama's Inauguration Day. I'm going to...
Right.
In honor
it's
of...
time to take it back.
Yeah, Republican again. Takeover. I'm going
Hell
to
no, you
start
can't.
An organization to repeal whatever they put forward.
6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Hal Sparks, in for hump days with Hal.
Yummy.
With some... Hey, by the way, yes. Here's the good news. That Tea Party tidal wave... Guess who drowned in it? The drowning victims this morning. Christine O'Donnell, Carl Palladino, Sharon Engel, Joe Miller. Oops.
Yeah.
It's not a very responsible tidal wave, is it?
Nope. Okay. And the six Senate...
They should have won their water wings.
The only surprising one is Illinois. All the other ones, just red states.
Yeah, the
getting
headline,
their Republican back.
The headline today, Tea Party offers GOP a mixed bag. Oh, that is a mixed bag of nuts. That's a mixed
boy.
Bag of nuts they got
Salty
there.
Salty group there.
Republicans were quick to blame the Tea Party for the failure to clinch both chambers in an election trending strongly
it
against
starts.
Democratic majorities. So it starts.
Already.
I do want to thank America, though. For one thing, for sending me to Washington, D.C., and Jim Ward.
Yes.
Because I will be doing a show, I'm doing a show at the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, and Jim is going to be there this
just
weekend.
Just by happenstance.
Jim
is
just happening
DC.
To be there. So we've both been sent to Washington by America.
That's right.
America.
Okay, well,
Airlines,
you're not really sending them, but if you could send money for Jim Ward's airfare, we would appreciate
yes,
it.
Absolutely.
And that way, technically, you would be sending Jim Ward to Washington.
Yes, absolutely. Or,
yes. Yeah. For the weekend. But,
the
you know.
Tea Party helped us in the House, but probably cost us the Senate, said longtime Republican campaign guru Stu Spencer to the New York
yep.
Daily News. Losses in Delaware and Nevada kept the GOP from winning a Senate majority, even though both races were opportunities for Republicans to pick up key gains.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Reid, of course, always a major GOP target. Although someone on Hal Sparks' live blog has a delightful idea.
Yes.
Majority Leader Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
Well, I like the sound of that.
That would be lovely. What a great, great idea. There's a good conversation going on in the chat, I have to say. About
and by the way,
the
I was just going to say that was a personal one for me. As you know, even though I
yes.
did fall asleep on my couch last night, instead of spending election night with Barbara Boxer like I was supposed to. Loser.
I twittered her loveliness the whole time. And
but anyway, it was very personal. I did a lot of campaign events for her. I filled in for her and spoke for her when she was sick one time, and that one was personal. And they spent so much money against
mm-hmm.
her. She
oh,
was
man.
Such a major target. And so
has Fiorina conceded yet?
No, she hasn't. Isn't that classy with a K right to the end?
Mm-hmm.
Lost by 8 points. Why hasn't she conceded? She lost by like 8 points. What, 50-44? Or 50 by 6, excuse me.
Counting votes is so yesterday.
Conceding, I guess, is so yesterday. I guess that's what the problem is.
Hang on. So yesterday.
Yeah, here it is. Here's my New York, what do you call it, LA Times. 50-44, she won. Why hasn't she conceded? Whatever.
She's going to try to outsource Barbara Boxer's job to China. that's your hope now.
Good luck with that. All right. You know what? Carl Frisch is here.
Yay!
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, your Frischness.
Good morning. It's so terrible that Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer lost.
I know.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
No. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Every statewide Democrat in California won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the second time in 100 years.
Yep.
That means that every statewide position in California is controlled by Democrats.
Yes.
And Republicans spent how many hundreds of millions of
dollars? Oh, my God.
I know.
not only of mystery money from outside
right.
corporations, outside groups,
mm-hmm.
but also their own pocket cash, which is amazing.
Yeah,
now,
I can't
confirm these numbers, but I've heard that Meg Whitman ultimately ended up spending $1.9 trillion on that campaign.
It's true.
You're making that up, Carl Frisch.
I just pulled that out of my rear end. But you know what's great about this election result is that Fox News is going to have to employ a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's
yeah.
funny is, if you look at it from a money version, it's as if she got sniped at the last second. It's an eBay.
I think Meg Whitman's going to hit up her you know, help for money.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Can I seriously? I need gas money. Yeah, whatever. Carl, I don't know what your take is, but we were all saying, what? This is kind of what was expected, right? I mean, we were going to lose the House, but we kept the Senate. It's not as bad as in 94 in that sense. They were expected to take 70 seats. They took 60 in the House. Like, I don't get what all the hysteria is. Do you?
Well, I understand. You know, losing the House is horrible. But that being said, it's not like 94 in the slightest. I remember 1994. Unfortunately, many of the people that are talking about this stuff online, their political memories start in 2002. You know, in 1994, Democrats lost everything. They lost state legislators. They lost the California Assembly.
Right. And frankly, as I was just saying, I mean, obviously the analysis is the Tea Party, as I've been saying for months, was worse news for the Republican Party, lost in the Senate.
Well, let's look at the Tea Party. The Tea Party is the core Republican platform right there in front of you on steroids. And what that tells you is that the Republican Party was rejected. They won some elections yesterday, but a lot of those margins are like 3 and 4 point margins. Some of them are even closer. So they won some elections yesterday, but you know, you dig a little deeper into the polls and you find out that people are not thrilled with the Republican Party and that they're just voting to send Democrats a message.
And so much for that.
I think Republicans are cruising for a bruising in 2 years, and certainly in 6 years when those senators that won this time.
You know what, Carl? That's the interesting point. Is I thought that too. So we sort of couldn't be set up better for 2 years from now, because I mean, wow.
Let's see what you got.
Let's see what you got in the House.
Whomever they're grooming for 2012 will have to answer to this group to get anywhere, and that drives them into such a bizarre corner.
And how much stuff from the House is actually going to pass the Senate now?
To our world. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the House has already said they're not going to do anything to cooperate. I mean, they're setting themselves up for a repeat of 1995.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Only worse because there's no clear agenda. You know, arguably the contract for America was relatively, they had a point. They had, you know, it was garbage, but they were like, this is
what they were going to do.
Right.
Now
nobody
knows. They promised the Tea Party, the debt is the major thing. And, you know, as Lawrence O'Donnell was trying to get from Eric Cantor last night, so what happens when you are going to have to raise the debt ceiling? Then what? Then government shutdown? I mean, you're right. It could be an absolute replay of 94. So
they're in a very horrible position because people do not like the Republican Party, and the Tea Party movement is basically all the House pickups were people that really tried to woo the Tea Party.
The fearsome power of the Sarah Palin endorsement. Bye, Carl Palladino, Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Hangel, and Joe Miller.
All right, take care now.
Bye
bye then.
I can't tell you this is true, but I've heard that Sarah Palin was just endorsing crazy people for a reality show.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? Glenn Beck on the Fox and Friends. Here he is.
I think that's what the message is in America, is we want to stand for something again. Mm-hmm. We don't like this progressive soup that is in both parties. That is what the Tea Party's next job needs to be, is go back and reinfect the Democratic Party now as well.
You know what happened, Carl? God forgot to do the geese flyover for Joe Miller and Sharon Engel, I guess. The geese didn't form.
Right.
Well, you know, I watch for geese fly. Now that I know that those are a symbol from God, and they do happen at the right time of the year, many times a day in D.C., so I watch for them.
Yes.
Just so that I can have my own personal sign. But I had no idea that he wanted the Tea Party to infect progressive soup. I love progressive soup.
Yeah.
The minestrone.
Why ruin the reputation of a perfectly good soup?
Well,
right.
There goes one of Beck's sponsors here in America.
Yeah. All right, Beck on the radio.
Tonight, our goal is to make George Soros cry. So join us.
This is hard to do. I mean, this is a guy who saw people in the gas chambers, so it's really difficult to make him cry, but we're going to try. We're going to try.
Accusing Soros of being a Nazi?
No, he's...
Yeah, one of the right-wing talking points about George Soros is that when he was a little kid, he joined the Nazi Party and helped put Jews to death. It's not true.
He's a Holocaust survivor.
It's one of the right-wing talking points.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember hearing that years ago, and
that's amazing.
I guess, yeah, he's seen people inside the gas chambers when he was going in there, I guess, when he was being put in there. What a jerk.
Well, you know, I don't think George Soros is crying too much, because George Soros famously, like 6 months ago, said he's not putting a dime into this election cycle because he knew that we were going to do poorly and he wasn't going to waste his money. So I don't know that he's crying too much that he didn't put money into an yeah. election cycle that we didn't do great in.
Ooh, let's hope he's saving it for Media Matters and Progressive Radio. Wouldn't that be
you? I mean, you want to talk crying about money in elections, Meg Whitman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Trace Gallagher on the Fox News on the Boxer race.
Well, you know, the numbers appear to favor the incumbent, Barbara Boxer, the three-term senator, but the mood here in California, John, really is kind of going toward Carly Fiorina's way. She's the Republican challenger.
What?
It's true. I mean, I don't watch election results, so to speak. I watch mood results.
Yes. And the mood ring
right
said
now,
Fiorina.
In California, right. it's dark blue for Carly Fiorina, so they really do love her.
Yes.
And therefore, they didn't vote for her.
Maybe that's why she hasn't conceded yet, because the mood still favors
right.
her.
Breaking news.
Not the vote so much.
Breaking news right away. Bennett wins in Colorado.
Woo!
Senator Michael yeah. Bennett, yeah. Democrat, Colorado.
Hey, Ken Buck.
Beat Ken Buck.
A Tea Partier that Sarah Palin endorsed 2 days ago.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
He was also a birther.
Apparently, the mood favored Ken Buck, but the votes favored Michael Bennett.
Yes.
Buck has been bucked
you know,
out of the
Hal,
saddle.
Yes. Hal, your liberal bias against mood... mood casting?
Apparently, it's, right. what he, it's what he is and what he does, Ken Buck. Right. He's Colorado people in Colorado bucked him
yep.
from
he's
the system.
Bucked.
It was.
He's bucked now.
Royally it was
bucked.
A squeaker.
Well, there are some interesting results out there when you look at Iowa and when you look at Colorado, where you know in Iowa none of the congressional Democrats lost. In Colorado, they retained the governorship and the Senate seat. So there's some interesting results out there.
Math is a liberal bias.
Ken Buck, who of course compared homosexuality to alcoholism, the people of Colorado have told him to buck off.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
We love you, Denver.
City right. by the Bay.
All right, Carl Frisch, stay in the sidecar. Back with more Right Wing World as we continue post-election analysis on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Rob. Stephanie Miller. Rob. Stephanie Miller. Rob. Stephanie Miller.
Yes, I am the aforementioned freak. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch inside car to finish
Yay.
Up Right Wing World. On
he's
post,
Frisch.
He's he is Frisch and exciting and new. Every week he's new. I'm like, what? Carl Frisch again. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. O'Reilly. Uh-oh. Jeez, I didn't listen to him again.
It's going to be interesting to watch tomorrow and the rest of the week.
Uh-huh.
The reaction, if it plays out the way Gallup says it's going to play out. How the president will handle it, how the liberal commentators. I am going to issue a viewer warning right now for children not to watch MSNBC because some people may commit suicide.
Oh,
right?
Ha,
they may
ha,
set themselves on fire over there, and it would be gruesome to watch that.
Ha, 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 that's funny. Wow.
No, you know, I love a good suicide joke like anybody.
Yes,
but,
particularly in the wake of all the suicides that have been happening in
right.
the country. Yeah,
it's
very funny.
It's just not funny, and he shouldn't try comedy. He should stick to badly reading his teleprompter.
Yeah.
O'Reilly and Sarah Palin.
Can you be too far right in this country?
At this point in time, with
yes.
the State of the Union?
Yes.
No, any
you
of that,
can't be too
any,
far right.
Any of that far
right,
right,
right.
ideological
sure.
sense
that.
That somebody would have is going to balance out the extreme far left liberal policies that are
sure.
being adopted, this government takeover
right.
of our private sector.
So you can't
heck, more power to
you
the far
power
right.
You know,
yeah, boy, howdy. You ask Senator Joe Miller or Senator Sharon Angle or Senator Christine O'Donnell or Governor. Gee, Carl, it didn't. The Tea Party didn't pan out exactly.
They didn't
they'd
move
hope.
Right far enough, apparently.
Oh, Carl, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Somehow I lost him. I don't know. He seems like he's there. And
you
yet.
Know, interestingly enough, that she brings up that corporate takeover concept.
Yes.
Because GM is paying back, I think, the rest of their bailout loan.
Right.
Is profitable again.
Right.
Even as, you know, as questionable, I think, as the Volt technology is, it will be successful to some degree. And they're taking advantage of a giant tax break that's actually set up by the Republicans, a loophole that they're actually going to jump through. That it's been around. Anyways, there
at least a,
the government is out of GM's business right. as of this week.
Thank you.
All right. Pre-election.
A little pre-election advice from the drug-addled gas bag.
If you want the police citing you for eating too much trans fat, even though you may not even know what it is, vote Democrat.
Yep.
If you want higher health care costs, vote Democrat. If you want to believe that we are not a great country. If you believe this country is immoral and unjust and unfair, if you believe this country is racist to its core, sexist to its core, bigoted to its core, homophobic to its core, if you hate your country, you vote Democrat.
Oh, well, or you vote just against the racist, sexist, homophobic Tea Party candidates, which people did.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rush.
4 out of 5 Tea Partiers went home empty-handed.
No, I was saying, I mean, that is the good news. You know, how you and I obviously talked about, you know, gay issues going into this election. And that is, you have to think the hopeful thing, not just that we are making such great progress on great issues, but the biggest homophobes in this election cycle, Carl Paladino, Christine O'Donnell, Ken Buck.
Carl still got his baseball bat, though.
Who he threatened
lost.
To use
anyway, they lost. I mean,
on Cuomo, yes. Totally.
Joe Miller, this was my favorite answer. Did you see this? That someone tried to ask him whether being gay is a choice, and he said it's a state issue.
Yes.
What?
It's up to the states to decide whether or not it's a choice.
Yeah. Carl Frisch, we lost you for a moment, but you're back.
Well, a good topic, too. You know, one of the biggest important races for the LGBT community was the Minnesota governor's race. And right now, Emmer, the right-wing bigot who's opposed to marriage equality, is losing to Mark Dayton, who supports marriage equality.
Go ahead.
They actually say that could be the next state that legislatively passes marriage equality.
And we have a couple of openly gay candidates that won as well for
Lexington,
the first time.
Kentucky, in spite of the Rand Paul situation, Lexington, Kentucky actually elected their first openly gay mayor ever, which is kind of spectacular.
That's amazing.
Lexington, Kentucky, which, by the way, has been kind of understood to be the gay area of the state. Like, that's if you want a safe place to flock to as a Kentuckian, Lexington is that space.
So it's Asheville of Kentucky.
It is.
By the way, Carl, you might have missed Rush Limbaugh kind of hit the nail on the head there. That what we really lost on is we ran almost totally on the trans fat police idea. That was the main thing most Democrats ran on, is we are going to have a policeman.
Rush is really consumed with that issue for some reason.
He's consuming a lot of it, yes.
All right. Thank you, Carl. For see you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right. There he goes.
Unnecessarily
consumed.
They're always knocking on my door.
With the idea that the trans fat police are coming to his place first to slap the cheeseburger out of his hand.
This does speak to, you know, a mental defect on the right. And O'Reilly plays this up a lot, which is the idea that a suggestion is a form of policing.
Yes, coercion.
That you are, that if I disagree with you, I'm violating your civil rights. It's kind of, it's a specific kind of madness.
29 minutes after the hour, back with more post-election analysis and therapy. How you feeling? What you thinking? Call me. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She eats, she sleeps, she poops. So far, I'm not impressed.
Give her a bad haircut and she'd be...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yeah. Pardon me.
All right.
Pardon me. Can I get a Heimlich? Yes, it was the night of brunette losers with bangs. That's Christine O'Donnell.
Do you need a Hickenlooper?
Yeah, right. It's hard to say Hickenlooper.
Go, Governor Hickenlooper in Colorado. Yeah. Woohoo!
Right. So,
me, because I fell asleep on my couch instead of partying with Barbara Boxer, where I was supposed to be last night.
Really?
And Christine O'Donnell, of course.
All right.
Bye-bye
then.
Is she on Fox and Friends already this morning? Is she already got a job? How fast is that going to happen? I wonder.
Yeah.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Andy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Hello. I disagree with the idea that Republicans have to govern now because they have the built-in excuse that Obama's in the White House and that there's still Democratic control in the Senate. So, you know, they really don't want to get anything done. So
I agree, but they have to present
things. Oh, are they
things.
Really, seriously, are they going to whine about us being obstructionists? Really?
Oh, they can keep the mouth breathers happy by passing every bat guano crazy thing that's out there that they claim that they're for but really don't ever do anything about. So, you know, they can pass legislation banning abortion, banning gay marriage, banning gays in general.
Which will never clear the Senate.
Right. But I agree with you on that.
It will never clear
right,
the Senate.
Right, and then run on that and go, well, see, you got to give us more Republicans if you want to get all this great stuff done.
Right, and I hear what you're trying to say, but there's a huge difference and a huge step, and this is what they're going to have to deal with, is between presenting an idea in public policy just kind of as a PR stunt and actually creating the bill itself
right.
that can be dissected by not just your electorate, but also by, you know, every government agency. They have to answer that, like, everything they're going to do is going to add to the deficit.
Not one of them has been able to say what they would cut.
Right,
and
exactly.
So if they're going to do that, it's going to be really unpopular
right. Once
stuff.
They start, they're going to be digging their own grave in that regard for the next election.
Discretionary spending, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which would be...
Yeah.
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's the giant tax right. cuts for the rich sitting there that would, uh-huh. that would cut trillions, and, you know, they won't touch that. I
right.
mean, it's
and
it
you've
makes...
got Mitch McConnell and John Boehner now answering to the Tea Party on a margin of 9 or 10 people in their caucus. It's
yep.
crazy.
Yep. Mike in Queens. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Steph. Hey,
good morning.
Hi, Mooks.
Hiya.
Quick thing, I really want to call about Russ Feingold, but quick thing about Rachel, she kicked butt last night.
She did.
She's awesome.
She proved that these guys are phony bastards.
what do you mean?
Why? They, every time she would ask them, how are you going to...
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, and they would, well, I can't answer that right now, you know. We're not there yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's
now,
yeah, it's a time for celebration. Yeah.
No, with Russ Feingold, you know, I was upset. But this morning I was thinking about it. I think he would be the best as the chairman of the DNC, bring us more progressive Democrats.
Yeah.
Like himself.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. That's a terrific idea.
And we also like Majority Leader Barbara Boxer.
And Howard Dean, a big loser, who went on to be a big winner in a similar position.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Scott in Madison. Hey, Scott.
Hi,
hi.
Jeff. Hi,
hi,
Al. How are you?
I'm great, actually.
Not so great today.
Well, no. You know what? In all honesty, this could have been a ton worse.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it compared to 94, it was not the route they were expecting. And a lot of it is, like I said, razor-thin margins. The idea that they somehow walked away with this huge mandate on par with Obama entering office is just ridiculous. And a lot of the vote that they got was people thinking Obama's not liberal enough and staying home. So it's not, like I said, I'm not going to get completely ate up with
this. And a lot of people, too, are saying, Scott, that this really may be the best outcome for the president and for Democrats.
Going into 2012.
You know, the House and Senate being split this way is what I mean.
What I wanted to bring up was the new Lieutenant Governor, Rebecca Clefish.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us in the LGBT community, you know, she talked about us wanting to marry furniture and ottomans and that sort of stuff.
Well, she was right on that, in that I do want to marry my HP printer now.
Well, in preparation for that, you know, I hate that she's there, but, you know, I found a website a friend pointed out to me, is furnitureporn.com.
Good stuff.
It's got chairs, getting it on, ottomans, you know, mixing furniture, this and that. So,
yes.
You know, I thought, you know. Well, might as well just go there.
Don't get started on the website.
You and I will have a double wedding. I'll marry my HP printer, and you can marry a dinette set or something.
Yeah,
Think my partner and I should get the domestic partnership now, or should we wait and see what happens?
You know, in all honesty, I think, again, states are being ahead of the Fed in a lot of these areas.
And the courts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say this is the tide of civil rights. This is the direction it's going. I do think, though, one of the reasons why the route that did occur in certain areas happened by these thin margins, even especially in places like Illinois, was because there were members of the gay community who didn't view, like, I mean, the House passed a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the actual bill. The president agreed to sign it. The only element was the military was given a chance to sign off on it, and it was on a timetable that people weren't comfortable with and that happened after the election cycle. And that kept them home, and that kept them from voting to a margin that allowed some of these people to squeak through.
Scott, and the important thing, I think, is in a country where 75% of us think Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be overturned, people didn't vote against gays in this election. It was the economy. You know? So don't lose heart.
I can't making that my issue, though. You know?
No, absolutely. And you should. But what I'm saying is you should make it enough to push you to the polls and go, okay, I recognize that the Democrat I want to vote for, this should be a primary issue with you next time around. Look at the Dems that are coming up for election in the primary cycle and make sure that they're on your side and push for them in the election. But the idea, and then if somebody gets through that will caucus with the Democrats and that isn't, you know, 100% your way, understand if they're going to caucus and that will allow us to vote to have it happen, that's an important thing to do. That's a long game strategy. It's how the Republicans have controlled the Supreme Court. And so if you want the things that you want long term, you have to vote as such. You can't just go, ugh, grumpy.
Yes.
And that's what happened.
All right, Scott, thank you. Love you more than my printer.
Thanks. Can't, bye, guys.
Yeah.
Can't breathe without you. Okay. Let's go to Brian.
What? I'm Brian out of magenta.
Brian in Wisconsin. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm surprised. I don't know why I can't get you anymore on 820 out of Chicago. Anyways, more importantly, since
they're doing local stuff today.
Oh, they did? No, just for an hour. We're on now. They did local analysis for an hour.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, you know, I've been listening to a lot of things, reading a lot of things, and so many people are saying, oh, no, now the conservatives are back in power, and didn't we learn from the first time? And honestly, I mean, I come from Paul Ryan's district, so I have experienced a real conservative at the federal level. But there are so few conservatives. I mean, Stephanie, other than your dad and his running mate back in the day, how many conservatives to date have there really even been? George W. Bush was not a conservative.
Yeah, and, no, this is not. This I don't even know that my dad and Goldwater would recognize whatever this Tea Party thing is. I mean, it's just not, you know.
Well, and here's the thing, that whole whatever this Tea Party thing is, you know, I've heard Norman Goldman bashing the Tea Party. I mean, you're talking about millions of people who have decided to finally inform themselves. There are people out of Milwaukee here, conservatives, who voted for a Democratic sheriff. Why? Because they did their research, and he's a good, responsible sheriff.
Right.
It's not about voting for R's or D's anymore. The Tea Party is probably, by and large, the most informed part of the country right now.
Oh, wait, hold on now. The Tea Party, the Tea Party are far-right Republicans.
I think what you're talking about is the sort of the Ron Paul angle of where the Tea Party originally got its idea from, the C4L
or
kind
the crazy
of crowd.
Angle in Nevada.
But the Christine O'Donnell crowd is a totally different animal. And that's the part, by the way, that's pushed by Fox News. And that's the part, quite frankly, that Mitch McConnell's having to deal with this morning. And
I mean, I personally am not a person who watches Fox News. My wife and I don't enjoy TV enough to even pay for it. I am somebody who did my research, and honestly, Wisconsin is going to be, I think, a beacon to the rest of the country. You're going to see real conservatism in action. We're going to have a truly conservative governor who, when he was the county executive in Milwaukee, held spending. He got awarded for the park system, even though he was reducing spending. I mean, this is somebody who truly knew how to take care of finances and do the right thing. He's going to be able to do that as governor now. Ron Johnson, a businessman who for 31 years has been building up a business that now exports overseas, bringing in, we're seeing the real thing now. This isn't George W. Bush. This isn't
Butler. Well, we'll see.
Goofballs.
I hear where you're coming from. I do hear where you're coming from, but this is not the Tea Party.
You're not talking about the Tea Party.
I mean, you're really talking about a root of older voters and some Tea Partiers backing up what would be Reagan Republicans to some degree, who are also not conservative in that regard.
Right. I mean, Michael Reagan spoke at this rally for some teabagger, I forget which one, the other day, and said that his father was the original Tea Party candidate. I'm like, are you kidding me? He'd get teabagged right out of the Republican Party. He's more liberal than, the mainstream, let alone the Tea Party.
I'll totally agree that George Bush was not a conservative. I also don't think that a lot of these candidates qualify as conservative either. I think they're reactionary, and I think that can be posed.
You can't be conservative and an anarchist at the same time.
Right. Yeah. And that's ultimately what it is. Moronic.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Bunny in Winston-Salem real quick before the break. Hey, Bunny.
Hey, Stephanie and everybody.
Hello.
I think, well, the biggest, two things. The big news out of Chicago election-wise is Jerry owes you $20.
Jerry, oh, was that Jerry that called? Oh, the guy that said the Republicans are going to win 100 seats.
Right.
And
he's the one who made you a bet it was going to be Nevada, Colorado, and Illinois, the senator race, $20
on
each race.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Wait, what did I say again? I was drunk, as you know, Bunny. Nevada, Colorado, and where else?
And it was Nevada, California, and Illinois. He bet you on the Senate race. It's $20 a race.
Ha ha. Call in Jerry.
Okay, the other thing is, what about Missouri's Proposition B? How did that go?
Oh, the puppy mill law. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know. We got Chris is Googling furiously as we speak.
Okay. Right.
We did have.
Okay, well,
I just wish that, I'm sorry, but I'm, as you know, a big rescue person.
Yes.
I just wish everybody would.
Proposition B narrowly passed with 51% of Missouri voters approving the measure. So there you go. It narrowly passed.
Yay.
But it is the
I'm
controlling.
I'm clicking through right now.
Puppy mill. Absolutely. And then, by the way, on similar grounds, a dead Democrat beat a Republican for state Senate in California 58-36.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the anti-puppy mill law passed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No more puppy mills in Missouri.
Right.
Well, I don't think it's no more puppy mills. It's just more regulations. And I know dog breeders say that it's, you know, too much or whatever. But I can't help it. As someone that loves dogs so much and sees how many get killed every year, that could be rescued, it's just...
Yeah.
All right. 46. By the way, GeneralGiantsRescue.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's the official rescue of the Stephanie Miller Show. That's where I got Max and Fred. Mom is handsome, man.
Max.
I babysat a friend's dog yesterday. Nobody that has their dog come at my house wants them to go home. It's like Steffi's doggy spa and resort.
Right.
And like we went hiking and then we had cookies and then we're getting a podicure and we took a nap.
Podicure? Oh,
no.
My God.
Maddox was with me yesterday. He was a handsome man, too. I made him snuggle with me.
That I don't doubt for a second.
46 minutes after the hour, right back with more post-election analysis on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That doesn't really rhyme.
Get it. Ride it. I am Stephanie Miller. I am my dog's mom. Oh, I forgot to mention that Maddox, my friend's dog I was babysitting yesterday, is a black dog, and my dog Fred's a white dog, and they are in an interracial homosexual relationship, and I support that.
Wow.
We are a progressive family. Oh, they're so homo with each other.
Oh Lord.
Okay.
Dog on dog.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rick Santorum warned us.
Yes.
No, he didn't. He warned us as man on dog, which has still not happened.
But she claims it's a handsome man.
He's so handsome.
So I guess he was right. Santorum was right.
Handsome and romantic. Patty in Fort Lauderdale says, I don't want my country back. I want my country forward. Hi. I get it. That's a good one.
Yep. Blue Dog Coalition.
How's that twitty quitty thing working out for you, Sarah Palin? Oops.
Yeah.
Looks like Lisa Murkowski, your good friend. It's going to win.
We are in the process of making history, and we started that about 46 days ago when I declared as a write-in candidate for the United States Senate. They said it couldn't be done. They said, not the last time that anybody did that was 1954 with Strom Thurmond. It can't be done. You know, we looked at that and we said, if it can be done anywhere, it can be done in Alaska. And let's prove the rest of the country wrong. And we're doing that tonight.
Can I just say one thing? Mm-hmm. I kind of wish Kendrick Meek had dropped out.
Yeah. Right.
And Charlie Crist, I think, would have won. Because, again, you know, those three-ways are... Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I did not mean to say Charlie Crist and three-way. I just was saying, my point was...
Yeah. It's certainly an issue. And it's interesting, if you're going to talk about history being made in elections and how positive they are for you, don't bring up Strom Thurmond.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ask Trent Lott about how well those kind of statements go.
Okay, let's go to Michael in Chicago. Hi, Mike. Hello, Michael.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was thinking that I've listened to these folks being interviewed, the new leaders in the Republican Party.
Our orange overlord?
Yeah, and they say they like to respond kind of smarky that we weren't elected this time around to do anything. We were elected to undo. So that's kind of like their new mantra. I've heard of four or five guys got their points. All they're going to do is spend 2 years undoing things.
And awesome.
Yeah. Sure.
Awesome.
Sure.
They're going to pull that thread until the whole sweater unravels.
Yeah. Just unlegislate.
Yeah. That'll work. They won't have to pass a budget or anything because they're the House.
They're the un-party. Hmm. Like the un-cola, except different. Okay.
Well, again, you can be that if you don't actually have to draft legislation, if you're not running the committees. I mean, in all honesty, you're going to spend your entire time passing bills to undo bills like the TARP, which is over.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the GM bail. Like, we're going to stop bailouts.
They're going to get in the Back to the Future
already.
Car.
We're
going to
go back in time in the DeLorean.
You can't claim that you ended the bailouts when they just termed out on their own.
Yes. Mark in Fallbrook, California. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I am, like, majorly depressed today.
Get the bullhorn.
Stupid is the depressed, District 8 people in Florida?
Oh, I know. No, I mean, the tough ones for me, obviously, Russ Feingold and Alan Grayson. But, you know, Mark, once again, if you're going to extrapolate, like, oh, it's people that are too liberal, it's like, well, conservative Dems lost, too, in some places. And, what's his name? The guy that voted for McCain.
No, I have no problem with people being too liberal. In fact, I think the reason that we didn't have a big night last night was we weren't liberal enough. We didn't stand by our principles. We compromised too much. And what we've done with Citizens United is basically compromise ourselves into a literally doomed situation.
We didn't do it. The Supreme Court did it, which is tells you everything you need to know about why you need to get out and vote.
Absolutely.
I got out and vote, and I've continued to get out and vote, but I'm beginning to think the only thing Sharon Engels got right was maybe Second Amendment remedies.
Don't say. Not at all.
No. People who spent a lot of money still lost.
Yeah, so. Seriously, dude. They didn't take the Senate. This is not 94 all over again, and 94 all over again would have been horrible.
Yeah. Do you think there was enough money to elect Christine O'Donnell? Do you think there's enough money to elect that much crazy in one place?
It's interesting to me. Like, yeah, I get it. But, you know, Grace and Feingold may end up finding their way back into positions where they were able to help more. I don't necessarily think their loss will be the end of either one of them.
Yeah, no, Howard Dean did obviously an amazing job at the DNC. Let's go to Newbie in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello? Newbie.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Stephanie. This is Newbie out here in Maryland. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
I was watching John Boehner last night. He cried. Now,
yes.
I've been wrestling with myself. Did he cry because he's so emotional and passionate for this country, or is it because he had too many martinis last night?
Yes.
Who
can tell, really? It's hard to tell why. He cries when he's happy.
Am I the only one getting a boner right now?
I spent my whole life chasing the American dream.
John Boehner.
I put myself through school, working every rotten job there was, and in every night shift I could find.
What, you the only one?
I poured my heart and soul into running a small business.
I bet you can't get a boner.
That's at the top of our list, but nope.
Here's
he's the only one that put himself through
school
and worked crappy jobs. Who didn't?
So I'm gonna spend my life stepping on people who are in that kind of position.
Here's the one area where you do have to take the tears of John Boehner relatively seriously, and I mean this, is that he appeals to a certain kind of white panic that's going on that is represented by the Tea Party.
You're calling him white?
Orange panic.
I should have done air quotes. On the Ustream chat we're air quoting. But in all honesty, he's appealing to a certain idea that they have, that black people and gay people are getting this pass and Mexicans are getting this pass, but I've been working hard and I just got fired.
Yes. White people.
That's what he means.
David Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want my country back. Where are the jobs? What? I'm not going to take this boner.
Hell no, you can't.
Yes, I can. You're taking too long. Where are the jobs? Who let this deficit? What the hell? 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues, and wait a minute, someone replaced my Jim Ward crystals with David Bender. How did that happen?
What? Yes, it's fairy dust.
David Bender joins us from Ring of Fire. And happy post-election day,
happy,
David Bender.
And you know what? It is a lot happier day than a lot of people are thinking. I last night,
that's what we've been saying.
I did election coverage last night and was trying to talk people off the ledge. And frankly, I was on the ledge when the night started. Mm-hmm. Right. But as it went on, it was evident that there is a whole lot of dancing to be done today. Mm-hmm. If you pay attention, if you actually dig in deep, who should we talk about first? Wait a minute, I have an idea. Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Can we talk about her for just a minute? Sarah Palin, of the, let's see, if we've got this right.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. Yeah, Rand Paul last night. Let's start with this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rand Paul.
Tonight, there's a Tea Party tidal wave, and we're sending a message.
Uh-oh, unfortunately, look who drowned in the tidal wave.
Sarah Palin, actually, and Christine O'Donnell and Tom Tancredo and Carl Paladino. Of the 38 Tea Party candidates she endorsed, only 13 or 34% have won so far.
Mm-hmm.
And remember,
let's send the helicopter to talk live to Joe Miller. How are you enjoying that tidal wave?
Can you see the tidal wave from your house, Joe Miller?
Sharon Angle.
Here's what we know. We know that Sarah Palin, who with great fanfare endorsed a lot of candidates early on, some of them, by the way, she endorsed who were far ahead. She endorsed Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire. She endorsed candidates who candidates who had no prayer of losing. So she was going to pad her margin. But if you dig into these numbers, you see the people she actually put her Mama Grizzly claws on. A lot of them, like Christine O'Donnell, lost.
As Chris rudely said yesterday, she's kind of an endorsement whore. I mean, she gave them out. I did say like Skittles, but really more
you did have a couple of candidates also
like
turning
rock.
Them down, specifically openly turning them down.
Number of people
and surviving
who didn't want to be seen with her, but
they were like pop rocks because they exploded in some.
This
place.
Is what makes this morning so much fun, guys. Because as we look at this now, these people wake up, and we're not just talking John Boehner and Eric Cantor who.
Oh, the nightmare.
You got to watch them wake up. And, of course, I've got to say, didn't we hear earlier that Glenn Beck wanted to make George Soros cry?
Yes.
He actually made John Boehner cry.
Right.
He got it wrong somehow, he always does.
No, I actually got to do something. Oh, no.
somebody cried. It was John Boehner. But here's what we know. Sarah Palin, having endorsed a lot of candidates who lost last night, still has a huge amount of influence in her party. She has terrified the Republican establishment. And what that means, of course, I hate to tell you this, folks, because we have just buried one election. Well, the other one is now alive and walking, and that's 2012.
Yep. Yep.
And Sarah Palin has just become, simply by dint of the media, the front runner for the Republican nomination.
Right.
That's cause for celebration
Hey, howdy. There she is.
Thank you.
What the Republicans need to do is reach out to the Democrats, reach out to the White House and say, hey, the train is leaving the station. Come on board. We invite you to come on board, but we're heading in a different direction.
Yeah, the train is leaving the station. Now, this is Sarah Palin's conciliatory outreach. This was Sarah Palin, but what she tweeted last night was entirely different. She said, Mr. President, the American people have spoken. Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And this is what, and people are going to hear all about how Republicans are going to be conciliatory, they're going to be statesmen and
sure,
women.
Sure, just like they always have.
That, mm-hmm. You know, the truth is, they're going to reach out and choke anyone in their way. That is their motto. And mm-hmm. as I think you've both said, all of you have been saying this morning, good on them, because now they have to be responsible for this stuff. And yep. here's what folks should think about.
I couldn't be more delighted to be back on offense.
How about that? How about that?
Come but on, what do you got?
Let's wait for this, mm-hmm. because the new Congress comes in January. One of the first votes they're going to have to cast mm-hmm. is to raise the debt ceiling.
Yes.
And
yes.
those Tea Party candidates who are going to be told by John Boehner and Eric Cantor they've got to do this or for the country are going to suddenly have to decide between what they ran on and what they have to do to keep their committee assignments and to keep their jobs. Now, here's what's going to be really interesting. Remember the Contract with America.
Yeah.
Contract with America, 1994, Republican Revolution.
Lasted 11 months.
Lasted 11 months, but one of the key planks in mm-hmm. the Contract with America, because this was the new Republican Party. These were the people who were going to listen. You heard the same rhetoric last night. We're going to listen to what the people tell us. The people don't want professional politicians. That's what what Newt Gingrich said in 94. So we're all going to serve only three terms. We're going to serve right. term limits. We're going to leave. Come the fourth term, mm-hmm. all of those Republicans elected in 94 said, well, you know what? Yeah. We didn't get our job done. We have more work to do for the
sure.
American people. Forget about what we said then. That's going to be what we're going to see in the spring with the debt ceiling. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, we got to pay for it. And, and here's the cynical part of it. Those Tea Party candidates are going to say, we have to pay because our troops...
Yeah,
are
yeah, there
in
you
harm's
go.
Way.
That golden oldie. Yeah.
John Boehner will cry again.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Boehner said that Obama called him and they had a brief but pleasant conversation.
Mm-hmm. I cried every motion of the time.
He cried a little bronzer.
I was busy sweeping my dad's shop.
He cried a little bronzer into the phone.
Yeah. I shorted out my phone.
You know, you guys have been talking, and I've been listening very carefully, because I've learned everything about what happened last night from the Stephanie Miller
Thank
show.
Thank you, me too.
And
fell asleep on my couch and didn't know what happened until this morning.
I was up till 2.
But somehow both of you managed to be able to explain it all this morning. But one of the things that I think is important, because, Stephanie, you've been talking about how Alan Grayson and Russ Feingold, two people we
love,
revere
yeah.
and love, lost. So what is the message? The message is that... Four members, as of when I went to bed last night, four members of the House Progressive Caucus lost, one of whom was Alan Grayson. Four.
Right.
Count them, four. The head of that caucus, Raul Grijalva of Arizona, has been reelected.
Yes. Yep.
Narrowly and won his seat in Arizona against a red tidal wave in
Arizona. Right.
So
that's because apparently we bust in a lot of illegal Mexicans.
Absolutely. All of whom voted for him.
And gave
but
them sandwiches.
Those four were defeated of the Progressive Caucus. There were 48 Blue Dogs up
yes,
yesterday.
Thank you.
Half of them lost.
Yep. Hey, David, I said this earlier, that I said, you know, look, the pundits were arguing among themselves on MSNBC. No one knows what all this means. Like, liberals lost, you know, conservative Dems lost. You know, Lawrence O'Donnell made the point where Russ Feingold got outspent 4-1. Certainly the citizen, let me finish, the yeah. Citizens United certainly mm-hmm. was a factor, but Lawrence O'Donnell made the point that what about Meg Whitman and Linda McMahon? And in some cases you couldn't spend
I
enough
heard
money.
That and I wanted to reach through, and I have a lot of respect for Lawrence O'Donnell,
right.
but I wanted to reach the screen and shake him, because here's the difference. If you really look at how that money was spent, and I did,
yeah.
I went back and looked at it. The money that was spent, Ron Johnson, who beat Russ Feingold, is a millionaire. He put in millions of dollars of his own money, but a small proportion of what was spent against Russ Feingold by outside groups. When you look at Meg right. Whitman, when you look at Linda McMahon in Connecticut, they spent tons of their own money. It was like buying a vanity license plate.
People are like, that's the kind of fiscal conservative I want in office, someone that's that smart with money.
And that's where Lawrence got it wrong. That's what people yeah. didn't want. They didn't want candidates who would come in. And the same thing happened to a Democrat. It happened to John Corzine a year
yep,
ago.
Yep, yep,
they
yep.
don't want people buying their seat in the
well,
House of Senate
but,
or
and you're right. The Citizens United stuff allows it to be sneakier. People go, they don't know where all the negative ads are
right.
coming from or
and,
who's behind
and
them.
And that's why Russ Feingold lost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It was not the self-funding
about,
candidate.
Yeah.
There's an important distinction people need to remember.
And I also think that, you know, as Hal and I talked about, you know, Kentucky is not California, and
right.
et cetera, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Barbara Boxer, obviously, one of our progressive heroes. This is California. You know, Rand Paul in Kentucky, is that biggest shock? Probably not. It's Kentucky.
And,
you know, I mean,
and even some Democrats. I think John Yarmuth, the Democrat in Kentucky, won his seat. It was not a complete sweep. You've been making this point all morning that, in fact, It was 60, not the 70 or 80 tidal wave that they talked about. Republicans will now come in January with less of a margin. They will have fewer seats than the Democrats have had in these last 2 years.
Right.
Want to see how effective they can be with that? This is going to be one of those moments where be careful what you wish for.
Right.
They have it. Now, here's what I am interested in. We've heard all morning and all last night that the president has to hear the voice of the people. The president has to hear what the message is. The president's going to talk to the American people this afternoon. If he says the message is, I am going to work more closely with the Republican Party. I am going to reach across the aisle to John Boehner. I'm going to work with the new Republicans in the Senate and all around the country. He hasn't heard the message. The message is, if you remember what got you there, mm-hmm. what brought you to this dance and your base, which finally turned out toward the end, maybe a little too late, mm-hmm. but if you remember that, you're going to win re-election. If he tries to triangulate this, it's a nightmare for him, and I will make a prediction right here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We will be hearing in the next couple of weeks, if that's what the president's tactic is, there's going to be a Democrat somewhere in this country who's going to decide, I'm going to be running for president
primary in
2012.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe Hal and I are in a happy clappy mood because we live in California, governed by Jerry Brown.
I'm hoping and I'm praying that this breakdown that's gone on for so many years in the state capitol, and we're watching it in Washington, that the breakdown paves the way for a breakthrough. And that's the spirit that I want to take back to Sacramento 28 years later, full of energy, full of creativity, and ready to serve you, the people of California.
It's time for our new game show, David Bender. How many Asian underlings has Meg Whitman shoved this morning already, do you think?
Was one of them Sharon Angle?
She
shoved Sharon Angle right out of contention. Yeah. That's what happened.
That's what
she
happens when
so
you're
angry.
Asian. That's
she
the
only,
problem.
That's
Sharon Angle only
when...
thinks she looks Asian.
and certainly does to Meg Whitman.
And vice versa.
You know, there's so many things that these people are going to misinterpret, and that's why we are all here on the Stephanie Miller Show, mm-hmm. to really understand what happened. Now, one of the things, I am in a happy, clappy mood, too, because in California, so many Democrats were elected, not just Jerry Brown, not just Barbara Boxer, but if we go down the ticket, mm-hmm. we saw that
Gavin Newsom,
Patty Murray.
Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom, this is someone targeted by the right wing. This is the man who came out very early on as mayor of San Francisco, yep. and then on Prop 8 as the spokesman.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? This is the message that you can run on principle and right. then get elected statewide. They said it had killed his career for having mm-hmm. supported Prop 8.
Yeah, right.
Guess what? It isn't true.
No, it was not a good cycle for the homophobes, unfortunately. So yay for that.
The other thing, too, is that he was actually angling to maybe run for governor. And there was some question about, you know, mayor to governor, if that was a too big a leap for the California electorate. So a lieutenant governor is a great step forward in that direction.
Especially when your governor is 72 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Now, the main thing that I'm happy clappy about is how many times you've said here on the Stephanie Miller Show, which I enjoy.
And I will continue to say here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Can I quote our friend Russ Feingold?
Yes.
In the words of Bob Dylan, my heart is not weary, it's light and free, and I've got nothing but affection for those who have sailed with me. That was Russ Feingold.
I love you, Russ.
I love him, too.
Yeah, I've gone from a gated questioning again.
And I have not. I'm marrying Russ Feingold.
Oh, whatever. Get in line, biatch. Okay. In the meantime, kids, you know, this seems just kind of like improvisational, doesn't it? No. We had to go to meeting all night long about every single word we were going to say today.
You were asleep.
Yeah. I was awake.
In business today, of course, people on the go, particularly Hal Sparks, he's like an alley cat. You never know where he is. So, yeah, we have to have go to meeting.
This weekend.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
We have to go to meeting from there because Jim Ward's going to be there as well.
Exactly. That's why we recommend go to meeting by Citrix here at the Stephanie Miller Show. You can meet online no matter where you are from any computer, Mac, PC, or Hal Sparks' beloved iPad.
Mm-hmm.
With GoToMeeting, you can show your desktop to everyone else in the online meeting. They don't have to imagine what you're talking about. They can see it. They can see your screen right on their screen, any chart, any photo. GoToMeeting, a great tool for collaborating. We love it. It's reliable, fast, easy to use. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. It's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour. Back with more post-election analysis.
I was acting out the ad on the Ustream.
I see that, honey. It's the best visuals in radio. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah. We are following Carly Fiorino, who Al Cowling is driving up the 405 in a white Ford Bronco.
Right.
She still has not conceded. 25. Where's the helicopter? 25 minutes after the hour. For God's sakes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Miss Fiorina, please step up to the microphone and admit that you have lost to Barbara Boxer. Get your House to Senate Majority Leader, Barbara Boxer.
Apparently, conceding is so yesterday, is what we're told. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on there.
So yesterday.
Oh, heavens. All right. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit that, GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Perhaps Carly Fiorina not aware that she's lost yet. Perhaps they didn't have a GoToMeeting at her headquarters.
I think she was on her yacht. I think that's what's happened, and they don't get internet coverage out on the water, and that's what really happened. Well, you know, I mean, where am I going to go for election night? Well, Caribbean.
Some of these guys, and this is true, some of these guys run into the issue of conceding where they're actually viewing the results from would go against the narrative they have been creating. So it, literally, if she's watching in too opulent a circumstance, she has to, oh, crap, I have to concede. Let's go rent a hall and stand in front of it. Where's that set that looks like a regular stage in an old-fashioned hotel?
We did break the news this morning. Bennett in Colorado has beaten...
Michael Bennett has beaten Ken Buck. Alcoholism and homosexuality are the same. Pour me another drink, please. And
don't I know it.
What's really important...
So say Ken Buck so that people don't think that David Bender believes.
Patty Murray, I misstated. She was ahead. It has not been called
yet. She is ahead, and that could last for another several days, if not weeks.
They're only at 62% reporting. She's up by 1%.
They're very slow to count in Washington State. It's a transparent process, but it is a very slow transparent process. We're going to have the same thing playing out in Alaska with these right-wing votes being counted. It may take 10 days to 2 weeks before we know Alaska. Now, Lisa Murkowski, by the way, is going to caucus with the Republicans. She has said that absolutely no matter what happens. She is, however, going to be pissed at Mitch McConnell and everyone else, which is going
to
make
their blue dog, their red dog,
make it fun for them to deal with. Here's what is important to note about Michael Bennett winning. Why this is such, you know, this is not a chorus lines, Michael Bennett. This is a very...
who is no longer with us.
As much as I would like it to be, and he's not in the Senate, here's what we do know, that... Last night, with Joe Manchin, the conservative Democratic governor of West Virginia, who was elected to fill the seat held for centuries by Robert Byrd, Joe Manchin, one of the most conservative Democrats in the country, who in a TV commercial actually fired a rifle at the cap and trade bill.
Yeah.
That was his way of getting elected. So we have Joe Manchin as a new Democrat. We have returning to caucus with the Democrats, Joe Lieberman, who is part of the Connecticut for Lieberman Party or whatever the hell that is. By the way,
me party.
No longer an official party because it didn't get any votes yesterday.
Yes.
So we have Lieberman, we have Manchin, we have Ben Nelson, the corn husker from Nebraska, the insurance company's favorite Democratic senator, those three men would be the margin in the new Democratic Senate. So had Michael Bennett not won, if Patty Murray does not win, those three guys are the Blue Dog Caucus who will determine the organization of the Senate. And what we've already heard from John Cornyn, the head of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, is we'd love to talk to Joe Lieberman about joining us. If it gets to 51-49... then any one of those three guys could flip. We saw it with Jim Jeffords when
we know
Republican
how Joe Lieberman
flipped.
Hates to draw attention to himself or, you know, be self-important in any way.
Exactly right. We need to get, as they say in politics, outside the margin of error. And that Michael Bennett race is crucial for that. So is Patty Murray. That's why these matter.
You know a lot of stuff, David Bender.
Sad I have no life.
You know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff.
So sad.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
At this point, champagne just sobers me up. Let's go eat some martinis.
Not even true.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, here with a lot of political man meat, Hal Sparks and David Bender.
Yeah.
Marco!
Rubio!
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Marco Rubio in his victory speech last night in Florida.
Our nation is headed in the wrong direction, and both parties are to blame.
Oh!
And what Americans are looking for desperately are people that will go to Washington, D.C. and stand up to this agenda that is taking us in the wrong direction and offer a clear and genuine alternative.
Isn't he running for governor? Didn't he just win?
Senator.
I wish, I have to say, I do kind of wish Kendrick Meek had dropped out now to see what would have happened.
That's right.
And you know why he didn't? Because the whole argument was that African Americans would really stay home if he wasn't on the ballot. So they made a decision. The Democrats in Florida said, we're not going to beat Marco Rubio. And he wound up getting more than 50%. I think around 50%.
Right.
But this is Alex Sink's only chance to win the governorship. And that race is undecided. So Meek's voters.
And Rick Scott's a crook.
Rick Scott is a disaster. And a nightmare, but Kendrick Meek's voters voted for Alex Sink. So that was the decision. They made a very, can we call it cynical, but practical trade-off.
But if Charlie Crist had gotten in, talk about people that would be pissed at Republicans. I mean, he got teabagged, and we all know he does not like being teabagged.
Stop it!
What? Okay.
Where did you get that idea? I don't think that's true.
Oh, and here comes my tea.
Who said, while our new majority will serve as your voice in the people's house, we must remember it's the president who sets the agenda for our government. Who said that? The boner.
Oh.
Our orange overlord. Oh, he's already setting it up. Oh, it's not my fault. Don't make me cry. It's not my fault. It's right at the president's wall already.
Is Don Pardo ever the right answer?
No.
Okay,
no,
just checking.
No, it is not. All right, let's, Doug in Cape Coral, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just was thinking, I wonder, it'd be nice to be a little mouse in the corner the first time Barbara Boxer runs into McCain on the Senate floor.
Yes, he will have the distinct displeasure of continuing to serve with her, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Be very interesting to see how that goes after all the crap he said about her. But.
Yeah, so much for the comedy of the Senate. What a nasty bag of ass that man is. By the way, who obviously flip-flopped on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, among a million other things. But, David, you wanted to talk about the judges in Iowa.
Yeah. You know, it's a very sad commentary. We saw what happened here in California with Proposition 8. And, of course, any number of other states, including Iowa, had there was judicial review of whether or not same-sex marriage was constitutional. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were surprised when the state Supreme Court in Iowa unanimously said, of course it is. And so they made it legal. Gay marriage is legal in the state of Iowa. But there was an election yesterday for three of the sitting justices, including the chief justice of the Iowa Supreme Court. Now, they've been doing this now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades. They've had these retention elections where you just get to say, do I want the justice to stay or do I want them to go? Nobody has ever been sent packing until yesterday. And all three of those votes, and again, it was a majority, so there's still many who voted for it who were not up. But those three justices were all rejected by the voters of Iowa. That is a sad commentary. Even as some Democrats were reelected in Iowa, it was not just the anti-incumbent fever. This was targeted for their vote on same-sex marriage. So it's a long fight. This isn't over.
Well,
and this
every,
is the way
every
they play
civil
it.
Rights battle is. You
hey,
know?
But it doesn't matter. I mean, ultimately, what's the difference between the two parties if you're just voting? You know what I mean? Honestly, you know, anybody who believes in LGBT rights, what's the point? Look, the president, just because they passed in the House the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, and it's going through the. There's only been a review, one review like this, and Obama was shepherding it and agreed to sign. So what? I mean, ultimately, who cares which way it goes?
He's doing a little skit. Do you see how he did that? See what he's doing there?
But, dude, what happened with Prop 19?
Yeah, seriously.
Dude. I'm so totally bummed. No.
Lethargic potheads. I'll tell you what happened with Prop 19. You want to know exactly what happened?
I do.
Baby boomers not wanting to have a conversation with their kids about their past. Parents not wanting to talk about pot as, you know, in the same class as alcohol, which is really what that bill was about.
My favorite was the commercial that ran radio spot right before the election that said, if we pass Prop 19 in California, people will come to work stoned.
Right. And workers' comp insurance will go through the roof because you won't be able to do anything about it until after they show up stoned or until after an accident happens.
Show up drunk to work every morning, and you know why I can continue to do that? Because Meg Whitman gave us all her money for her advertising. Thank you, Meg. Okay, let's go to Mary in Northern Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Mary.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. My daughter voted yesterday in Northern Virginia in Prince William County, and her ballot screen did not reflect either Jerry Connolly, the Democrat, or Keith Simeon, the Republican.
Mm.
She kept going back, looking at it, and she happened to tell me about this, and I flipped out and said, you need to call 1-866-OUR-VOTE right now and report this, and you need to report it to Jerry Connolly's office in our county. They are apart today by 500 votes.
Yeah.
With Connolly leading, right?
With Connolly leading, but her neighborhood is a mix of Hispanic, African American, and white working class people. And, you know, and I'm just preaching. I've always preached to my daughters. I used to take them to the polls with me when they were in diapers. You got to vote. You got to vote. Your vote's got to count. And unfortunately, she left the polling place and didn't raise holy hell at the time and say, hey, what's going on? You know, my congressman, I can't vote for him. Why isn't he showing up on this Diebold machine?
Right. Well, I also, by the way, I vote absentee. So because I can't guarantee I will be home. So I sign up when I register, I sign up for absentee balloting because sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not. So what I do is I drop off my ballot. Okay. So I get my little packet that has my stuff.
Can't you have one of your women bring it to you wherever you are in the world?
Theoretically. But I open it up. Guess what? No ballot inside.
Oh,
It's got a little envelope where the ballot would go. It's got a sample booklet. It's got a little, you know, page of how to vote, which shows you how to vote with the ballot that isn't in there.
That always happens to me with fortune cookies. I hate when that happens.
You know what? I am going to single-handedly take credit for Barbara Boxer's win. You know why? Because with our Inca Dot thing, I am always like a psycho in the booth. I voted for her like, you know, you have to. I just want to make sure that it's pushed. I'm just like, Boxer, 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 until they drag me away from the voting booth. Ma'am, we've got it. We've got it. You want Boxer. I was like, okay.
So in my little packet, it says, if you don't have your ballot, you can vote using the sample ballot and mail that in instead, which seems really sketchy and lame. So I start going through the process of voting, and I'm standing off, and I get to the fourth page, and Carly Fiorina already marked. On the fourth page of my sample ballot.
Now, that's a good investment of her money.
Yeah.
If you're thinking
Wait
how you spend
minute.
The money, that's
Carly
the way to
Fiorina
do it.
Carly Fiorina already
Wait a
marked.
Minute.
We already, have, already blacked out.
And we
on
have
there.
Inca Dot system, and maybe it's
and
HP
is it the,
printer ink.
Is it the Mayan calendar?
Right. So I walked down to my local polling place, and I got a provisional ballot, and I voted that way.
Which is, to the caller's point, that's exactly what people need to do. You cannot leave it at that moment. You've got to fight it. And I'm looking at races now that are still being decided. We know that Patty Murray's Senate race could come down to a handful of votes in Washington State.
Right. And Al Franken, for God's sake.
Al Franken, which took 6 to 8 months to decide. When you say that every vote doesn't count, when there are 300 million Americans, people go, oh, it can't possibly matter. It has mattered in more elections in the last 10 years than at any time in my lifetime.
Yep.
It's come down to 500 votes in Florida, folks, would have put Al Gore in the White House and kept John Roberts and Samuel Alito off the Supreme Court. And guess what? There'd be no Citizens United. All of those votes count.
Yep, exactly, despite what Rush Limbaugh may or may not have told you.
If you want the police citing you for eating too much trans fat, even though you may not even know what it is, vote Democrat. If you want higher health care costs, vote Democrat. If you want to believe that we are not a great country, if you believe this country is immoral and unjust and unfair, if you believe this country is racist to its core, sexist to its core, bigoted to its core, homophobic to its core, if you hate your country, you vote Democrat.
And if you hate yourself, you vote Republican and you vote Rush Limbaugh. This is this is through the looking glass. When you hear this man, and this is a man who calls himself at the end of the day an entertainer.
Right.
If you get a guy like that who is shouting fire in a crowded country, which is what he does every day, he ought to be frog marched out of there for saying that, in essence, Democrats and people who support them hate their country. That is not just benign entertainment. That's not Bob Hope.
No.
That's Goebbels. That's Himmler.
Yep.
That is
that's
bad
propaganda.
Stuff. That is propaganda.
I have a half a mind to deny him his trans fat for
well, there we go.
All the reasons he thinks that Democrats hate their country are the reasons I hate him. Because he is racist to his core, homophobic to his core.
By the way, we did vote against the major racist, sexist, homophobic candidates. Thank you very much for your tip.
Thanks,
Melissa
Rush.
In Arizona. Hello, Melissa.
Hi. You guys should be feeling sorry for us, though, unfortunately, because of Jan Brewer being our governor.
I know.
But there are some progressives here. She would not release her medical records, and there are some progressives here that believe she's in the early stages of dementia.
Right.
Yeah. If she won, is that considered voter fraud?
No, but I'll tell you what it would do is it makes the next year, I mean, arguably, Ronald Reagan was in primary dementia in 1981. After he was shot, it sped up his Alzheimer's. And word on the street was his speech at the convention took a year off his life after his, when Bush was in office and they drug him out into it. The act of governing and the act of the work that involved is very stressful on whoever. Look at how fast people's hair goes white if they don't turn it orange, Boehner. But in many ways, it's not a healthy situation for her, if that's the case. I think voter fraud will be the least of your worries if that really becomes an issue. I think what'll happen is a recall election if there's
Well, that's why, Melissa, we talked about this a lot. During the last presidential election, that said a lot about John McCain's judgment that, I'm sorry, this is a man of a certain age who's had cancer, who put Sarah Palin would put her a heartbeat from the presidency. I mean, it is relevant. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the waning moments. David Bender and Hal Sparks here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm very embarrassed for you for what goes on your show. It's just dirty stuff, and you all laugh so stupidly like a bunch of idiots.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Comedian Lewis Black joins us tomorrow to talk all things midterms and more.
If he can actually, you're going to have to get your finger on the bleep button for that
one. Yes.
You don't have to bleep out, though.
Jim dropped an F-bomb yesterday on the show.
He did?
Yes.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It is the Stephanie Miller Show with David Bender and Hal Sparks. David Bender, you can see on, or not see here, on Ring of Fire, the fabulous radio show every weekend.
You can indeed, and we're going to be taking calls live at Ring of Fire at Ring of Fire Radio this Saturday because people want to react, and I know the phones are lit up here at the Stephanie Miller Show. People need to be talked in off the ledge. Should we do some more of that?
Well, Chris was saying everybody was going insane this morning on Facebook, and we're like, what? It's what was expected, and it wasn't as bad as it was expected.
It wasn't,
we
can explain that.
We had callers yesterday, they're going to take 100 seats. I think the expectation was 70. They took 60 in the House. That was what has been said for months. They're going to take the House, we're going to keep the Senate.
A lot of blue dogs went away, which is actually a really good silver lining to this dark cloud, because if you lose 24 blue dogs, then the Democrats who remain in the House, and Nancy Pelosi has signaled that she probably will not be minority leader. So somebody else in the real battle, there are going to be two battles going on in January. One is going to be who leads the Democrats in the House.
Right.
I think John Boehner will be Speaker, at least as long as he can hold it. Good luck to him. Mm-hmm. But who leads the Democrats in the House?
I would sleep with one eye open if I were him. Those teabaggers are coming for you.
I think both eyes open is probably the way to go. But you know who else is going to have a fun time, Steph, is Mitch McConnell as the Senate minority leader. But there is plainly now a huge Tea Party caucus coming in there, and the man
his
they revere...
His first meeting with Rand Paul. Awkward!
The man they revere is Jim DeMint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the real guy who's going to be running the Republicans in the Senate going forward is Jim DeMint.
Boy,
and,
yeah.
And poor Mitch McConnell, you know, he has worked his entire life like John Boehner. He's done all of the terrible jobs. And now he's almost at the pinnacle of power, and Jim DeMint...
He's going to snipe it right at the last second.
And that could obviously blow up in his face. I think your point is this could be Jim DeMint's Waterloo. Is that your...
for the little Napoleon from South Carolina.
In the long term,
absolutely.
But people, you know, that's the thing when you listen to various, you know, presidential historians and otherwise. Who am I... I'm blanking on
Bachelors?
The president. Lost both houses and then, you know, came back and won the presidency and a majority back again. This, you know, these things are cyclical.
That would be Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it was... Who am I thinking of? I'm blanking entirely.
James Buchanan. I'm making that up.
Anyway, this has happened a lot in history, is my
Reagan.
Point, is
yep.
in every midterm.
Well, let's remember.
There are losses and then, you know.
Hal makes the point about Ronald Reagan. In 1982, Ronald Reagan was so unpopular, unemployment was higher than it is today.
Yeah.
They were talking about primarying Ronald Reagan in 84.
Yep.
These
right.
people who now want to put him on Rushmore
yes.
have forgotten that this is exactly, as you say, the cycle of history.
They wanted his head 2 years later.
And not for Rushmore.
What's left of it.
And not for Rushmore.
Yeah. Julie in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Steph. We are always reminded how independent those Alaskans are. So do not
you
count your write-ins before they are hatched. I worked the polls here in Pierce County for the last election, and a lot of the write-ins were like Porky Pig, Darth Vader, just all sorts of weird stuff. So they could really, you know, have a different mm-hmm. outcome for us.
Which means that Joe Miller, he's trailing by 5 points right now, could get all of his votes, and a lot of those write-ins that people think are for Lisa Murkowski won't be. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I thought we were done with her.
Well,
but yeah.
And that's yeah. what she's saying.
Yeah.
Is that this was their plan, actually, is to get everybody writing
yes.
in anybody just to
yes.
confuse the entire process. It was Operation Chaos in Alaska. The interesting thing is here's Sarah Palin, this woman who is, you know, self-styled grizzly, has the thinnest skin of any bear
oh,
I've
I
ever seen.
I mean, isn't that, beside lacking the intellect and the experience and everything to be president, she's too thin-skinned. She's just, I mean, she's on television calling people corrupt bastards.
Corrupt bastards. She means the Alaska, not the national
yeah.
media, not Katie
yeah.
Couric. She means the Alaska media. She called them
yeah.
corrupt bastards because they have the temerity to oppose her.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And ask questions. I mean, this is literally, and I think it was good on the voters of Nevada, for their vote for Harry Reid, not just because, you know, he was the better candidate, but Angle actually coming out and saying, I'm not going to tell you
yeah,
what I'm going to do or have any policy
I
discussions.
I will answer questions when I am the
give
senator.
Give me the job. Who can interview for a job anywhere where they sit down at the table and go, what do you think you'd do here if you got it? I don't know. Tell you what. I'll tell you after you write your first paycheck.
You know who does interviews like that now? Supreme Court nominees.
Yeah. I will answer it when I have the job.
And that's the new normal.
Pundit.
And there's something wrong with that picture, too. We ought to be asking, you know, justices what they're going to do on things like money and politics. And if Obama gets another appointment, he damn well better ask how are you going to vote on Citizens United.
Yeah. Sherry in California. Hi, Sher.
I think this is a proof of the law of unintended consequences, because in the last Congress, the Republic Corp would not work across the aisle at all. And now with the teabaggers at their heels, they may be forced to work with the Democrats just to keep the teabaggers out of their hair.
Just to have to spend less time with the teabaggers.
Yeah.
They'll be begging from Democrats for meetings.
Yeah, in all seriousness. They have more to fear from that group than they have from Dems, who were just like, look, we're just trying to do normal middle-class tax relief.
That's my Mitch McConnell theory. Mitch McConnell can talk to Harry Reid more easily than he can to Rand Paul.
Exactly. Kevin in D.C. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Stephanie.
Don't be talking all droopy. Come on now.
No, I was going to say,
you, what's the phrase the gentleman used, talking down? I like what you said the last few minutes, so I'm not as irritated. I will say I hope that all the people who were so disappointed that miracles didn't happen in less than 2 years are happy now. But, you know, my people have waited for basic human rights for years. So this little blip in the road, it just means you got to get
marshal your forces again. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so I'm not as down as you think. Besides, you know what your voice instantly does to me.
Thank you. By the way, if this election lasts more than 4 hours, you really need to see your representative.
Well, in Washington State.
And Alaska. Yeah. It's going to last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we need a doctor. Yeah.
Jeff, one last one in Salem, Massachusetts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, can I be the first one to say, Hickenlooper, I hardly knew her.
Hey! What? Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Hey, Hal, we have a couple of things in common real quick.
Okay.
One is that I was also a professional Scooby-Doer with Nancy Kerrigan. And the other one, I worked with Peter Page on a production of Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. So,
wow.
Hey, yeah. So anyway, what I wanted to say is I was really fed up with all the coverage, including NPR's this morning, which was interviewed pretty much all Republicans, whether they won or lost. Either it was a Republican who won, it was the tide of, you know, wave
right.
of tide of
blah,
the change
blah, blah.
Of Republicans,
yep.
Or it was the losers who would still talk about the wave of the tide of whatever. They didn't talk at all, for example, about Massachusetts completely going Democratic.
Thank you. That's why you need to come to the Happy Clappy Newscast,
totally.
The Stephanie Miller Show. We'll get you through it. And besides, Hickenlooper is a really fun name. I'd like to thank David Bender and Hal Sparks. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll be in Washington this weekend. So.